49% of Wisconsinites have gotten at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. Almost 45% are fully vaccinated. But vaccination rates from one county to another can differ quite a bit. The state's reporting its lowest seven-day average of new COVID cases in about a year. And this week, the Department of Health Services started reducing hours at six community vaccination clinics around the state. We're talking with an epidemiologist now about what it all means for the months ahead. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about what we could safely do, what we should still be concerned about? Have you gotten back to an old normal, a new version of normal? What precautions are you still taking? If someone in your household hasn't been able to get vaccinated yet, are you worried about them contracting COVID-19, especially one of the variants that are out there? And if you've worked in helping people get vaccinated, what has that experience been like for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Ajay Sethi is an associate professor of population health sciences and director of the Master of Public Health program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He's an infectious disease epidemiologist. Ajay, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Rob. I'm glad to be here.
Let's start out by looking at the numbers of new cases here in the state. And there have been times we talked to you in the past where this was really bad news back early this year, late last year. It seems like things are looking pretty good now. What are we seeing as you look at the data?
Yeah, they are low. The seven-day average is under 100 at 90 cases. And as you said earlier, we haven't seen numbers that low since March of last year. So that's good news. When I look at the vaccination rates, they certainly are suboptimal. When we have 44% of Wisconsinites fully vaccinated, which is the national average, we could do better, and it would be nice to do that soon.
And this is, we're past the time where there was a supply problem, where, you know, we were vaccinating people as fast as we could, given the supply on hand. Now we've got the vaccines. What do you think it's going to take to get more people vaccinated?
You know, it's going to take a little bit more creativity and a little bit more sort of reaching out to individuals and find out what prevents them from getting vaccinated now. If it's an issue of convenience, we can address that fairly easily. If it's an issue of sort of not having confidence in the vaccines, well, those are conversations that we just still need to have to assure people that the vaccine is extremely safe and highly effective.
One survey I had seen suggested that some people, even when they see that the vaccines are free, their experience with the healthcare system has them worried that they'll find a way to be billed somehow. But the main message there is the vaccine is free. If somebody tries to bill you for it, they're doing it wrong, right?
That's right. Nobody should get a bill for the vaccine. And it's easy to conflate the system that's being used to vaccinate people with our healthcare system, where you can get an unexpected bill. And if you do, you should call your healthcare provider immediately, and they should retract that immediately.
Good news about the vaccines again. It seems like they are still working really well, even as we see news about new variants, which we're going to get into in a little bit. The vaccine effectiveness, Ajay, if I'm reading things right, still really quite good.
Yeah, against the worst outcomes of COVID, the vaccines remain effective, even against the new variants. There is that new Delta variant that has been detected in Wisconsin since April. We've had 26 cases. It hasn't taken off. It hasn't become the dominant strain yet, but there are states in the U.S. where the Delta variant does represent almost 20% of cases, and we don't want to get to that point, and that's something we need to be aware of.
With the variety of vaccination rates in the state, just looking at, you have some counties, Dane and Bayfield, over 60% vaccinated. You have some counties, Taylor and Clark, under 30% vaccinated. How much of a worry is it now if we get this Delta variant more widespread? It spreads, it seems like, faster and easier. How worried are we about it hitting pockets where there are lots of unvaccinated people?
Well, it's almost inevitable, just because the Delta variant is 60% more infectious than the Alpha variant, which is the dominant strain right now. And the Alpha variant was already 50% more infectious than the original strain that we had when this pandemic started. So we're talking about a virus that is highly infectious. It will make its way into those pockets where there are more unvaccinated people. And that's definitely a concern. It's unclear whether this particular variant will lead to sort of a higher rate of hospitalizations. There's some data around the world that suggests that could be the case, but there's nothing definitive. But it's something that we should be concerned about because there is evidence that this variant may escape some of the monoclonal treatments that are available for people with COVID.
Talking to Ajay Sethi, epidemiologist at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at some of the latest news on COVID-19, the latest variants, and what's going on with vaccination. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you see people in your community, your friend network, your family network, your workplace getting vaccinated? Are you in a community that has lower vaccination rates? What do you think would help get more people vaccinated? Call in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and your questions. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Dan is with us in Monona. Dan, hello.
Hi, I just was going to tell you my story. I did the AstraZeneca study. So they pay $100 every time you go, which was a no-brainer for me. And so you get the, it's a double blind, so you don't know if you get it or whatever. And when I got the shot, I didn't think I got it at all. I didn't feel anything. I wasn't sick. I didn't even feel it going to my arm. And so then you go in. At first, it's more frequently, like maybe it was a couple weeks and then a month. They get blood tests and they give you $100 for that. And but then around in May came and they weren't going to approve it for the U.S. So I needed to figure out if I was vaccinated or not. So they broke the blind and I was vaccinated.
Okay, because you didn't know until that point if you were in the placebo group or not, right?
Right, and I thought for sure I was because, like I said, I didn't get sick or anything. So I was like, oh, so I've been vaccinated since November. I'm like, bonus, and I got like $700 out of it.
All right. Dan, thank you a lot for sharing that story behind the scenes in testing one of these vaccines. And Ajay, the AstraZeneca vaccine, Dan has it. Most of us can't get it. This one never got approved in the U.S. It's being used elsewhere in the world. Why did this one not end up getting approved, at least not yet, in the U.S.?
You know, by the time data were available for Moderna and Pfizer, you know, that ended up being the vaccines that were approved in the U.S. And the AstraZeneca vaccine was poised to be authorized at some point. But we now have three vaccines, as you know, if we add the Johnson & Johnson. So we don't have that sort of need for AstraZeneca at the moment. But it is used around the world. But the Pfizer and Moderna, and because supplies are good for those two, as well as Johnson & Johnson, we don't have a need right now for AstraZeneca. But thank you to Dan for volunteering for the clinical trial. We wouldn't have these vaccines if it weren't for volunteers to test whether or not these vaccines can be safe and effective.
Dan, thanks again for sharing that story. We'll go to Dennis now in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. My concern is we don't know yet whether we're going to need boosters for the current variants or new variants. So I just wonder, well, are they going to determine, hey, there's a new wave here, so we need to have this booster, or are they going to figure, hey, we need this booster to prevent a wave?
Interesting, Dennis. Thanks for the question, Ajay. Boosters for vaccines for potential future variants. What's the current thinking on that?
Yeah, so it's a combination of relying on data from lots of sources to make that decision that boosters are needed. So in the laboratory, there are researchers trying to determine whether the vaccines are effective against current variants. And then at a population level, using epidemiological data, when there's a surge in cases, we can then sample the virus from those cases to see if there's a new variant that's occurring and if they're occurring in people who are previously vaccinated. So it's a combination of all sorts of sort of magnifying glasses to use to figure out what may be causing a surge and whether or not our vaccines remain effective. There probably will be boosters sometime in the future. We just don't know when. And we'd like to avoid that by having more people choose vaccination.
Dennis, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Ajay Sethi, epidemiologist and professor of population health sciences at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at where things stand with COVID-19 cases and vaccinations. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest about the vaccines and what it'll take to comfortably put the pandemic behind us? Are you concerned about any of the variants we're seeing, what they could mean for unvaccinated people in particular? And what has changed in your daily life if you're vaccinated since you got vaccinated? Are you de-masking, for example, in more places than usual? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Ajay Sethi, epidemiologist and professor at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the latest COVID-19 news and vaccinations here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guest or your experiences getting vaccinated or giving vaccinations yourself. And what was life like before and after being fully vaccinated? Were you quick to go back to old habits, or did it take a little getting used to? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to Richard now in Two Rivers. Richard, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Richard?
I'm kind of mad because I worked in the health field for many years, and I know the games they play, and if you want to get a shot, you can get it for free. But if you have insurance, they'll run it through there first. And I just want to know, what's that all about?
Richard, thanks a lot for the call. So, Ajay, I know a lot of healthcare providers will reach out to their patients and bring them in. I don't think they run any fees through insurance, or they shouldn't be, right?
Yeah, they shouldn't be. And I'm not a healthcare provider to understand the games that Richard is describing. But they shouldn't be. And you know, I think for the vaccine, there are funds set aside for all vaccinators to be able to vaccinate citizens in Wisconsin. Shouldn't be an issue.
And part of the reasoning for providing shots through healthcare providers, I imagine, is that they have contact with lots of people and know how to reach out to them. But that's not the only place. There were community sites, some at pharmacies. Is that part of the key to getting lots of people vaccinated, I guess, leaving no stone unturned?
Yeah, that's right. You definitely want to use sort of all strategies. And the more vaccinators, the better. People then can have options to decide what's most convenient for them. When it is a healthcare provider and connected to the healthcare system, you might be able to get some of your questions answered, which is helpful. A lot of people do go to their doctor when they do have questions about things like getting vaccinated.
Thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. We'll bring on Mary now, calling from Milwaukee. Mary, hello. Oop, are you there, Mary? Oh, sounded like Mary was picking up her phone and disconnected. Maybe she'll call back. Try again at 800-642-1234, Mary. So let's talk about life post-vaccinated, Ajay. Can you talk about recommendations on things like social distancing, masking indoors, and so on after we're vaccinated?
Well, after vaccination, you really can return to pre-pandemic life. You're protected against the strains that are circulating. And really, we're just seeing that COVID is spreading pretty much exclusively in people who are unvaccinated. When you're vaccinated, you can be confident that you will not pick up the virus. And if you do, you're not going to be infectious and become a source of spread to others. So the mask can come off. I think if you're around people who want you to wear a mask, it's a good idea to keep one in your pocket. It's a respectful thing to do. And in some environments, like healthcare systems, you'll probably still need to wear a mask even though you're vaccinated. And the federal government tells us that when you're on public transportation, you should also be wearing a mask. But for other activities, they can come off. You can reduce the distance and just feel safer.
And that reminds me, I saw reporting, I think this was from NBC, where they're calling around to hospital emergency rooms around the country. And one, way fewer people are hospitalized now for COVID, in part because of the large part because of the vaccines. And two, the people who are in hospitals because of COVID, vast majority of them are unvaccinated people. That is our biggest risk right now, it sounds like, this group of unvaccinated people, Ajay.
Yeah, that's right. There was a study that came out a few weeks ago from the Cleveland Clinic Foundation, which showed that 99% of people who have been hospitalized for COVID were unvaccinated. And that's pretty compelling to me. If you get vaccinated, you can avoid the worst outcomes of COVID.
Talking to Ajay Sethi from the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He's an epidemiologist. We're looking at the latest COVID-19 news and the latest updates on vaccination rates. Still time for your questions and experiences and thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ajay, we've heard some people talking about natural immunity. If you've had COVID, you've got some level of immunity. And, you know, how does that compare to vaccines and things like that? But a worry I've seen coming up in some reporting is that there are people who got sick at some point during COVID, assumed it was COVID, never got tested, and think they have natural immunity. That's not a safe bet, is it?
No, especially a year ago when influenza and COVID were circulating. And also, that's also a year ago. We don't know how long that natural immunity might last. It seems to be not as durable than the immunity you get from the vaccine. So it's a good idea to still get the vaccines. I don't want to dismiss the immunity that people might have from natural infection. It's just that we don't know how durable it is, and it can definitely vary. We've done studies in some of my research groups showing that the fewer symptoms you had, the fewer antibodies you produce. People with more severe disease probably have more immunity if they survived it. But at the end of the day, studies keep showing that if you get vaccinated, you get more durable, more reliable immunity.
Now, looking at the age of people getting vaccinated in Wisconsin, some of the good vaccination news, older people, the most vulnerable, we're looking at like an 80% vaccination rate. I think that's 65 and up. Want to look at the opposite end of the age spectrum now, or almost opposite. We've got 12 to 15-year-olds getting vaccinated in the state now. They're the newest eligible group. Just getting rolling there, I think about 1 in 8 or so vaccinated so far. How important is it for people to get those kids vaccinated, even though they may not be as high a risk if they do get COVID?
Yeah, so they don't represent most of the hospitalizations that have occurred for COVID, but there's a lot unknown about this virus, and we know that there can be lingering symptoms even in younger people. And it's just probably better and safer for everybody, really, to get vaccinated, especially children, where we just don't have a lot of data on what this virus can do long term. And kudos to really all children under 18 who have gotten vaccinated. They may not fully understand the importance of their decision. So it's just great to sort of see that they're interested and willing to contribute sort of to the greater good of cutting down on transmission. We also are just concerned about these new variants. And if we have a lot of younger individuals and children unvaccinated, those new variants are going to make their way into kids. And we really don't know much at all about how those new variants will behave. So choosing vaccination is a good idea. And I hope parents are continuing to have these conversations with their kids.
And Ajay, we focus mostly on Wisconsin and here in the U.S., mostly good trends here. That's not necessarily true around the world. India recently had kind of a nightmare hotspot scenario. Where are you watching around the world as we have this race to get vaccines to countries that haven't had much of them so far?
Yeah, I mean, every place, as soon as you take your eye off of a given region or country, you return to that place later. So in the UK, for example, they are very concerned about this new Delta variant sort of supplanting the Alpha variant that they've already had. And it's happening rather rapidly, and it's a concern. India remains a place of concern, and there are areas in South America as well. But here in Wisconsin, I definitely keep my eyes on the data to see if there's any upticks, especially in those communities with low vaccination rates. And hopefully that can improve, especially since now is the time for people to get vaccinated, given there's these much more highly infectious variants that are starting to spread in the country.
We saw a dip in numbers back early last summer, only to come back in the fall. Are you worried about areas with lower vaccine rates as we get back into fall, back to school, indoor season?
Yeah, definitely. We do not have really any county in the state that is in that really high range of vaccination. I mean, Dane County is doing very well, especially among 65 years older and older than that. But, you know, there are still pockets of people, you know, who are not vaccinated. And there's always a concern as soon as they gather, if somebody has the virus, particularly one of these infectious variants, it will take off at that gathering.
Ajay, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Thank you, Rob.
Ajay Sethi is an associate professor of population health sciences and director of the Master of Public Health program at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He talked with us today about the latest COVID-19 news, including the state's decision to wind down hours at six community vaccination clinics and the latest vaccination trends.